Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. Susie and I worked together a few years ago at Facebook. Whilst I was in creative shop, Susie was in the policy and comms department. She is one smart cookie. In fact, she's got a TED talk out there that I really recommend you watch. But as well as being smart, Susie has also had a fairly incredible journey, part of which we're going to touch on today as she talks about becoming an intersex activist. As many as 1 in 1,000 people are intersex. It can be as common as having naturally red hair or twins, yet it's something that we know very little about. Which is why I'm really glad to have Susie with me. She sheds light on the ramifications of feeling forced to fit into the sex binary society we live in, as well as the implications of having both stage 4 cancer and having had a brain hemorrhage, and how that shapes your picture on the big picture stuff. See, I told you her story was remarkable. So the name of the game is Honestly, as you probably guessed, and I will start with a quick fire round.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how fun are you?
Oh my God. I think I'm like a 3. I don't know. I have really disparate groups. Like some groups I think would be like a 10 and some friends would be like a solid 1, 0.5.
Like, I don't know if I know any 0.5 people.
No, do you not? No. I oscillate between being like 12 years old and 87.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you?
Oh,
horrible question, sorry.
Oh, God. I don't know. I've met some really lovely people. I think I'm really fortunate. So actually, I think I have a decent group of friends. And yeah, that's fine. Depends. Yeah, sure.
You haven't given me an answer there.
Let's say like 5, yeah. 6, depends. Oh my God.
It's a horrible question. Oh. And sorry, it's so loaded. On a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you?
Oh my gosh, 2. Wait, no. Okay, like civically, 10. But in terms of what I thought rebellious was when I was 12, like a solid 2.
But who can be?
Yeah, yeah. Like I threw up once from drinking and then I was like, never again.
The thing is, like beyond 30, if you're really rebellious, then you've probably got a problem.
I don't know if this is interesting for the podcast at all, but it relates to like being intersex and all that stuff. I feel like only in the past 2 years have I lived what I thought I would live. Yeah, like kick the shoes off, like been a bit more rebellious, been a bit like more of a young person.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I spoke to Charlie Craggs on an episode about being trans and
she's amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. And I sat there feeling such a slob because she always looks impeccable.
Stop.
And I was like, oh, I need to bring it more. Anyway, she said something similar about, I was asking about her childhood and she said very much that she'd like to go back and do it all in the way that she would like, which I thought was really, but then maybe we all feel that
really,
a bit.
I think that's actually such a queer experience as well. Sometimes you're sort of living your late teens and your mid 20s because you're suddenly able to express who you are and feel more comfortable in your own skin and pursue kind of like your sexuality or your gender identity or really anything, just yourself.
Your true self.
It's delayed. And I actually read that because I sometimes am like, some of my friends are settling down.
You don't feel like you're the...
I'm like, no, guys, come on. I just got here. Like,
guys.
Geez.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
28, fine. You're 30. Damn you.
I don't know.
Favourite colour?
Red.
No question.
No question. Absolutely.
Is that like, have you had your colours red ever?
What's that?
So everybody is on a different one of 4 palettes, spring, summer, autumn, winter.
Oh, okay.
And if you Google it, like everyone will have a red in their spectrum, but it will be a different kind of spectrum. And only one of those, which is my one, winter, can wear black. And loads of people, you probably are probably similar to me actually.
Oh, I wear a lot of black, but also I feel like my personality is loud enough. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like no one
needs
the colours.
Can't go wrong with black.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh yeah, black. Most prized possession.
Oh, God.
Don't overthink it.
Well, it's a really lovely story, but one of my best friends, Ruth, when I was very, very depressed, I was in a very bad place about being intersex, I was really struggling with that. I went to visit her in university, and she's an English literature major. She gave me a journal and a book. It was T.S. Eliot, and she pointed to a particular poem, which is, I think, called Ode to My Wife. And the poem, she sort of was like, I know, like, it's a romantic love, but it's about sort of about our friendship. And there's a line and it's like, people who babble the same speech without need of meaning. And it's just really lovely.
She just, like, got it.
It was the most beautiful, like, I don't know, expression. And I still have the, oh, she got so annoyed that I had to buy it again because
you lost it.
No, I ripped out the poem and I gave it to my then boyfriend.
Oh,
and,
no.
Because I was like, also, this applies to you. And she was so,
why didn't you just photocopy it?
I know. Oh, God.
Oh, that is.
It wasn't great.
I'm with her, Ruth. I'm with you.
And then when I, sorry, this is cheating, but I celebrated 10 years remission of cancer and I threw a party and my best friends put together, I didn't know this until the night of, like, just notes from pretty much everyone I'd met over the 10 years of sort of saying, like, quite glad you're still alive. Which was really lovely. That also was
And
lovely.
You know what? You wouldn't ever choose it, but there's so few opportunities where people get to tell you they love you like that.
Oh, God. And I mean, the party was really to tell them, because I've written letters. I love a letter, but I just wanted to, like, throw them a party and just be like, you know, cheers. Thanks for everything.
What a nice thing to do. And a really important, like, so easy not to celebrate stuff, isn't it? And to let milestones go and to think, oh, I can't quite be bothered.
But yeah, exactly.
My granny died recently at 100, which is phenomenal, but my brother,
wow,
yeah, 100.
100.
But my brother read an amazing poem called Normal Day, which I'm going to read, actually. I think Normal Day, let me be aware of the treasure you are. Let me learn from you, love you, bless you before you depart. Let me not pass you by in quest of some rare and perfect tomorrow.
Oh,
I think that's it, isn't it?
Lovely. Yeah,
because we're always striving for what we think is like this unlocking the next level of happiness. But
yeah,
like there's so many mundane things have even those occasional moments of perspective, isn't it?
Occasional, yeah.
Yeah, they're not easy to have.
No.
How would you describe your relationship with money?
Ooh.
We're getting some really excellent faces that don't translate that well not in audio.
It's so expressive. Very aware of how quickly it can slip away.
Good answer. Do you believe in marriage?
I believe it can be reformed, like many institutions, not without its problems.
Also, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Potentially.
With reform? Yeah.
What star sign are you?
Gemini.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The key traits, from what I know, is that you're very good at seeing, like, kind of laddering back big picture and being able to join connections between things.
That's nice.
Which is a really big trait. But also, your bad side is you could occasionally be a bit of a meddler.
A meddler?
Like, stir the pot a little bit.
Ooh.
But this might not be true of you.
I didn't realise this until this year, but I can be a bit motherly.
Meddling in a, like, kind of maternal way.
Yeah, and be like, I've lived this, so this is my advice.
What would you like to be remembered for?
Again, vomit, but like being kind.
Yeah, that's it.
That's about it.
If you could have more of anything, what would it be?
Oh, energy.
Three words your inner critic or imagined worst enemy would use to describe you.
Oh, shut up, please. And a bit thick. No.
You proved that wrong, haven't you?
Like 1 + 1 = 1,000,000, so it's not great.
Right, well, that was the quick fire, like,
that was really
easy
fun.
Peasy bit. So I have you here to talk about intersex.
Wonderful.
So first of all, can you explain what intersex means?
Yep, so intersex refers to people who are born with variations in their sex characteristics. So that's your hormones, your chromosomes, your genitals, reproductive organs that don't fit within the typical kind of binary definitions of male and female. So basically, we're told that there are just two categories when it comes to human. There's male, there's female, and it's very set, all the characteristics I've just described within those two. So, you know, females are considered XX and males XY, but it's just not true. Not true, actually. It's quite a lot of us.
Yeah.
So we kind of take the 1.7%, which the UN agrees with, because we've not been counted, we've been suppressed. So
yeah, so that's it kind of feels like a non-figure in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's still so high. And again, I mean, social maths is a difficult one. And this numbered, you know, this equivalent really only relates depending on where you are in the world. But it's sort of the same amount as people with natural red hair.
Yeah, which is such a sort of that in your TED talk. It's like, wow, because you can just visualize that and then it's not an invisibility, is it?
Yes, yeah.
So when did you find out you were intersex?
So I had just turned 16. Yeah, I was taken to a doctor's office. Didn't really know what it was for.
So you were taken into a doctor's office, why?
The ultimate backstory is, so I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer when I was 15, which originated in what we thought were ovaries, spread to lungs and other places. And so we were focused on eliminating that. Mm-hmm. In the process of the surgeries and the treatment, they discovered that my ovaries were not, in fact, ovaries. And I want to be so clear here that, you know, in one of the main reasons, and it's a real problem with the challenges that intersex people face in a medical setting, particularly when trying to fight against people trying to take away our perfectly healthy organs, they might say, you know, oh, well, these will cause cancer. And there are specific instances where, yeah, they're, you know, in my case, I had gonads that were non-functioning and they, you know, around the time of puberty kind of just kicked off
But so what a way to be told, because it's linked with something which is life-threatening.
Yeah.
So it's become such a loaded thing from a really negative place.
It did. Well, it did. It was funny at the time. It felt different. But the one thing I want to say really quick, I had that cancer in the same way that, like, people get breast cancer. It's not because you have breasts. It's because, you know,
it's cells
it
and
can
tissues.
Happen. Yeah, it's cells and tissues, exactly. And I think that's really, really important, because so much of the language about how we describe intersex traits, variations of sex characteristics, is loaded with words like disorder, things to be fixed, problems, things that are unhealthy. And it's really important to make that distinction, that they're just variations, in the same way that people have different sized breasts, different color eyes, that kind of stuff.
Obviously, you really remember the day that you were told. Were you on your own? Were your parents with
you? I was with my mum. She knew before I did. So they told me pretty much everything that was happening to me in regards to cancer, but they felt that it was a bit too much for like a 15-year-old to be like losing their hair, like dealing with death. And at the time, I was also told that, like, I was infertile. So they were kind of like, we don't need to add this for a minute. This can wait a minute.
Do you think that was the right decision?
Yeah, I do, actually, because I'm so anti, like, it's my body, it's my choice, I should have bloody rights to my own body. But that was, I can only know my own mind at that point, and I was struggling. To be honest, maybe they could have told me, because I was so on autopilot in my head that I wouldn't have processed anything. Like, I didn't process anything until it was all over.
So and that moment you found out you were infertile too, which is...
Mm-hmm. When it sort of began to sink in, it was sort of my first relationship, and people would say, oh, but you don't have to worry about it now. And I was sort of thinking, like, but I know now, that's not really how it works. Like,
well, you can't really take that out of your head.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really difficult. It plays into a number of issues and a number of things that I think a lot of intersex people struggle with, which is about gender and your gender identity. And
that was actually going to be my next question, you identify as
a woman. I would say an intersex woman, because I think, you know, when we talk about woman, what is a woman, what is a female experience, like, what is a woman's experience, it's so diverse. And I think I would say intersex woman, because there are so many experiences I've had, defining ones, that change how I see my world. And it feels kind of necessary to put in front of it.
But how quickly do I bring it
up with
anyone?
I mean, with anyone.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it?
It's really funny. So I used to think it came, because I've known for 12 years now, and I've been out, as it were, for 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Before it went from no one to kind of everyone, and I sort of got really excited and just wanted to tell everyone, you know, because you hide it in for so long, and then suddenly you're unashamed and actually proud. I've also dedicated so much of my time to it. It's very much like,
it becomes,
it's on my CV, as in, like, if people ask kind of like, oh, talk about, you know, a time where you've had to deal with X, so much of it is through my work as an activist.
I always do an interlude where I ask the good people of Instagram about a subject. I asked people if they were familiar with the term intersex. 73% weren't.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I can make assumptions about my audience, but they are pretty, yeah.
Whoa.
It's huge, right?
I'm surprised, actually.
Are you?
I mean, I shouldn't be. I should not
it's
be.
Like,
but
huge.
Wow, 73% weren't. That's amazing.
I also got the language here wrong here, which I have to apologise for, because I said, do you identify as intersex? But that isn't right, is it?
Well, no, it is and it isn't, because obviously intersex is kind of like, it's to a degree, like, it's a classifier, and it's not, the terms are really important here. And one of the really difficult things, actually, you touched on, was really important. For example, when I found out I was intersex, I wasn't told, you're intersex. I was told about my specific trait, which has a name.
Yes.
And then when I go to Google that name, I don't find community. I find a lot of pathologizing information, mm-hmm. or some inaccurate information. I think I could easily imagine someone sat here just sort of saying as well, like, no, I'm a woman,
yeah.
or I don't identify it. You know, for some people, it is a small part of their
lives.
Yes,
it's in your hierarchy.
Yeah, and I mean, for me as an activist, obviously, you know, I talk about it constantly. Identity is a really interesting one. And there are better sociologists who could probably comment on
exactly.
that. I can only comment.
And actually, no one messaged me in a kind of pokey way. But it's hard, isn't it? Because as we know, 73% of my audience didn't even know what it is. So we've all got to be brave enough to try and have the dialogue and ask you whether.
Yeah.
I asked them if anybody in my audience identified as intersex. 1% did.
Which is close to the number.
Not,
so
yeah.
That's interesting.
Do you know someone who identifies as intersex? And 5% did. So
interesting.
Yeah. And then I asked people if they were a natural redhead. 9% were. Or if they knew someone who is a natural redhead. And 87% did. And that was my way of kind of making visible that statistic. I asked them if they had any questions about being intersex. And they did. And I had, how does it differ from being trans? And is it triggering when people get the two mixed up?
I don't find it triggering, only because I think I have got quite a well of patience, given that I know how hidden we are, so it's not desperately surprising that one might get. I would say we have so many things in common with the trans community. I like to think that we're arm in arm, and so many of the trans experiences and stories that I've heard, where there weren't intersex stories available to me, have made me feel sort of seen and understood myself. But the difference is, so the transgender sort of story is about gender identity, whereas intersex refers to, you know, your physiology, your body, bodily traits. That being said, you can be intersex and trans.
Yes,
that's very, very plausible. You can have that experience. The way in which our communities are the most similar is we're both struggling for bodily autonomy, visibility, and acceptance. And by bodily autonomy, sorry, fancy old word for my body. Let me make decisions about it.
It's true. Whatever gender you're assigned on your birth certificate, you can't.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, it's incredibly difficult to change the gender marker on your or even the sex marker on your birth certificate.
And weren't you told, or I've read about other people that often, even when they are told they're intersex, they're told to keep it quiet.
Yes, I was told that.
Yeah, categorically by the doctors.
Can't think of a single person who. Yeah, didn't kind of categorically say, like,
but they said, as part of our diagnosis, which is one thing, our advice to you is you just keep this under your hat.
I'm kind of racking my brain, because I'm sort of thinking, like, am I being unfair?
Yeah.
And that was made pretty clear until relatively in the last, like, sort of 4 or 5 years. So back in 2006-07, it was kind of understood, the stigma was such that
your life would be easier.
Yeah, my life would be very difficult, and my parents certainly felt that way. And again, like, if we're talking about, like, listeners to this podcast, my parents also, you know, considerably in their minds, at least, you know, liberal minded and open minded. And
so for you, I've got some other questions, but out of interest for me, if you go to the doctors, does it stay on your medical records, or do you have to retell
So again, I mean, like, it won't say intersex, it would say kind of your respective trait, there are so many different names for it. So like initially mine was called Swyer syndrome and then later called Fraser syndrome because it's linked to a different kind of genetic thing I deal with. But that, you know, there's a number of others, Klinefelter's, Denny's-Drash, you know, androgen insensitivity syndrome. Yeah. Very medicalized, medicalized words, which are important to understand, like your respective traits.
Yes.
Intersex isn't, it's not a state, it's an umbrella term, yes, like that lots of different traits fall under. So, you know, very different, really varies.
Yeah. Okay. Someone has said, how do you feel about your body?
Oh my God.
I mean, that's the most, that for anybody, that is depends what day of the week it is.
I mean, like, thanks for asking. Society in general doesn't, like, the messages we receive don't always want us to feel great about our bodies for a number of different reasons. And bodies get policed and punished for a variety of different reasons or aren't included. And so, like, one's relationship with the body is really difficult. And also, I will say, like, a lot of intersex people I've spoken to have had journeys with their body and to self-love, self-acceptance. Me personally, I feel, I don't know, it's inextricable from all the health problems I've come across. I feel very, very grateful for what it gives me, but I have felt frustrated by times it's let me down or seemed to have just gone wrong and tried to hurt me, or seemingly. Like, intimacy has been tricky. That's a journey. Romantically, specifically, I've got quite a few scars that took a while to see as okay or even beautiful on a good day. There are, again, like, the way I feel about my body is not just linked to my body and how it is, but also like how it's been treated. Again, big theme being intersex is how you're treated at your most vulnerable in medical exam rooms, what I've been told or subjected to on the basis of curiosity,
really?
Or I don't know, just treated like a freak show.
Have you?
Yeah, didn't care for that, and that's hard to shake off.
Yeah, that really, it really is.
But there, you know, and there's real degrees of that. None of it's good, but you know, from unnecessary medical exams to being asked to drop your trousers in a room full of strangers, like that's just not nice.
Yeah. I'm sorry all of that's happened to you.
Well, it's okay. It's not okay, I don't know. I guess the only gift it gives is like empathy and for a wider range of society. And when people tell me their stories, I don't know, you just kind of get it. I think a lot of people, different groups are treated this way. Like, I don't know, for all I know, someone might see the title, not to put this podcast down, but someone might see the title in this podcast and be like, well, that doesn't relate to me. But it does, because it's about your body, the right to your body, what society tells us is normal, and how we treat just anything that is even relatively different from what we consider to be normal, which isn't normal. There's no normal.
One of my questions was going to be, lots of my audience are parents, and what would your message be to the parents or guardians of intersex children?
Contact, probably, if you can. If you're based in the UK, try to reach out to UCLH. They are the experts, really, in this area. And it's easy when you're a parent to kind of put all your faith in a doctor, and you should, because, you know, they're absolutely there, generally speaking, to help, but the correct information hasn't really filtered down. In the case where you have an infant and they have, for example, ambiguous genitalia, like, if they're, you know, if it's perfectly healthy, if it's functional, leave it alone. Yeah, like, really, really leave it alone. There's a lot of pressure on parents to operate, to make this
life-altering.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is life-altering. I understand the difficulties, but if it is medically unnecessary, and I mean this medically unnecessary life-saving procedure, don't do it. Like, or get a second opinion at the very least. Seek out other, you know, intersex organisations who are happy to provide more other kinds of information. Doctors might say, like, oh, we do this and your problems are sorted and you can go home and tell everyone you've had a baby and it's one sex or the other. Mm-hmm. But the realities are, you know, people who are raised in, for example, the wrong gender, but also have long-term suffering and pain in one of the most vulnerable, intimate areas of their bodies, you know, that's what we're talking about. Mm. And a lot of these surgeries, you know, these interventions are irreversible. And the message you're sending regardless is you know, you are not acceptable. Your body as it came is not acceptable. Yeah.
Two more questions. One, how can we be better allies? And two, what has this particular life taught you? Two big ones.
Oh my God, so big.
Soz.
No, they're brilliant. I love the big questions. I'm so bad at small talk.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, exactly.
I'm so bad at small. Like, no, honestly, in the pub, people will be like, "How's work?" And I'm like, "Tell me a painful story about your childhood."
Yeah, me too. Like, let's hone in on that. Yeah. Let's go really big.
What do you think about death?
No, I don't mind like really small talk. Like, what's your favorite biscuit?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but I don't like the middle value because it's
I completely agree. And I'll like have an hour long psychological, philosophical conversation about what biscuit.
Yeah, because that is a big question. But like, the filling time questions.
Mega stuff Oreo.
Yeah. I like a ginger nut crunch.
What? Oh. And I'm excluding like gooey cookies.
Yeah, cookies like, sit on their own. They're we all obviously, like, we can eat loads of those every day.
Yeah, no. Okay, how can you better allies? Bring up intersex. Bring it up. Like, talk about it. Because then, you know, for all you know, there are intersex people around you who you don't know about. Make them feel comfortable. This kind of idea about biologically determinant, you know, basis of your chromosomes affects women too. I remember I was in a workplace early in my career knowing that I had XY chromosomes and some bigoted person was talking about, well, women aren't good at maths and it's all connected to the Y chromosome, blah, blah, blah. And I was just sort of sat there thinking like the bullshit coming out of this guy's you know we're all affected by this just bring it up.
That is basically the foundations of this whole podcast, that any subject that is apparently tricky or confusing or makes you feel anxious, that as soon as we talk about them, there's no subject that you can't learn about or you can't feel more at ease by outing it, because for me, with anything in life, the keeping it in your head is when the dangerous stuff happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the second question was
what has this particular life taught you?
What I've learned kind of year on year as I don't know, get a new diagnosis and my life is challenged or seemingly limited or just forever changed. You know, for example, this last year, becoming intersex was a huge one, actually, to stay on topic with intersex. Last year I had a brain hemorrhage and I wasn't sure I would ever work again.
It's so bizarre for me because I basically didn't see you in that time. So the last time I saw you in a work setting was as you are now, and you've just been through a mad...
election. That opened up a world of kind of... things that I might have thought about but didn't consider and certainly didn't experience the reality of, like, gosh, I'm not allowed to drive anymore. I lost a job, from an organisation that would probably surprise you, which won't be named, because of the levels of, like, discrimination, spaces I couldn't access, future being uncertain, what that meant for my finances, my personal life, my identity. And I just thought, like, well, okay, one, I'm experiencing this, but just each year with these things coming into, you know, we're always learning. But this is why representation matters, is because we've got to listen to people who actually have those experiences, because they understand them in a way that we never will. We need these stories and we need those people in positions of power and decision making, is because it's not that people without those, whatever you want to call them, challenges, variations, differences, it's not that they aren't capable, but they just, there's a perspective you can't teach.
No, lived experience.
You just cannot teach it. Can't. And that's what this life has taught me for sure. And so that's a mix of empathy. I'm very glad that I'm intersex. I would not change it. There are real perks, perspective being one of them.
But that is, again, a thread through all of this. Whatever variations or whatever, you know, whatever rolls your way, it makes you who you are. So, of course, you wouldn't.
Yeah, gratitude for all kinds of things. Just finding gratitude in any area of life, yeah.
Three things before we finish up. Lovely. It's going to get easier now.
Oh, please.
Where can people find you, and is there anything you want to shout about?
Oh, XYCs, you can DM me. I'll try to respond, but like we've been talking about, my day job's quite intense. So.
And also your brilliant TED Talk, which is
available with a little bit of... Yeah, please. I'm actually quite proud of that. So I'm pleased.
Easily located on YouTube. So the name of the podcast is Honestly, and I asked my audience to do a bit of an honest confession, and I'm going to read theirs out, and then I'm going to ask you for one. So I asked them to finish this sentence. I'll be honest, I don't understand the English. Fair enough. Think dogs are so much nicer than people. I'm realising that Instagram makes me spend way too much money. I'm not sure I've chosen the right man. Ate lunch too early. I relate very heavily to that one. Wish I hadn't left my husband 10 years ago. Lied, it was me that farted, not the dog. So a real variety. Give me, I'll be honest, I... Oh. You can keep it light if you want, you know.
My God. This is so... But those are so... Can I just say how great those are?
I know, I know.
Like, I'm floored and, like, entertained and... Whoa. I feel like that should be an Instagram of itself. I'll be honest. I just alter my voice often, depending on who I'm talking to.
Do you pick up accents really quickly?
Accents, but more like... Maybe it's, I really worry this is sociopath behaviour, but like if I'm talking to someone and they're like more reserved, I'll become more reserved. And like, I don't know if I'm always myself.
I think that's putting other people at ease, isn't it?
I hope, that's such a generous, lovely way to look at it.
I definitely would read it as
okay,
that.
Okay, cool.
Reframe that in your mind.
Thank you.
And wipe that away.
I can always feel it when it's happening. No, I don't do like blood, like Mockney or something like,
yeah, but,
you know, but I just...
But also if people are kind of musical, I often hear them pick up... or if they're actors, they pick up, they will mirror people's accents really quickly without realising it.
Oh God.
Or those people who've gone away on a gap year and come back with an accent.
I had a meeting as part of my job with someone quite senior externally, and the meeting I was really scared for because they were very tough, and they grabbed my arm at the end.
I said, where are you from?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't work it out.
They're just like, where? I have one question. I was like, fuck. And they were like, where the fuck are you from? And I was like, oh.
And then maybe you can hear it. You can hear a little bit of American.
It's like when I get excited.
Yeah. That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Mine is, I'll be honest, I'm going to reach my late 30s this week. And on the one hand, that feels totally normal because I definitely feel more 40 than I do 30. But on the other hand, it's freaky. It's like when someone asks you your age and the words come out of your mouth and you're like, oh, that's me. I'm a grown up. But I'm excited because every decade teaches you so much, doesn't it? It's like extraordinary.
Oh my God. I was at a party at someone's 30th on Friday and I was talking about how much I can't wait.
To be 30, you feel like you're ready?
Well, everyone, all the women I know who are in their 30s, it seems...
It's very grounding.
Much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your 20s can be really rough. And sometimes I just try to be like, because everyone talks about how amazing your 20s are. And I just want to be like, it is. But
you've got it all hanging over your head because you don't know what it's going to be the next bit.
Like, exactly.
It's so much easier to begin. And again, I think while your 40s are likely to be really good because hopefully you've really worked out who you are. You've done your a lot of your career.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all to look forward to.
Yeah.
So that's about it. I've been Clemmie Telford and this wonderful person has been Susanna Temko, and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe and tell your mates all about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts. So please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.